come back to the building here, and then I'll be getting off in a little while. If you're still in, I'll talk to you. I think it's Shane. Be more normal, where summer's been kind of lighter as far as my pickups go, but it'll be this way probably from now on through Christmas and a little after.
At the dock now? Are you at the dock now?
Back on my property in about 2 minutes.
Where is the UPS place down there? Is that the one on side of 85?
Road, exit 48, and then where Millennium Drive crosses, as Fair Forest goes the opposite way. We're down there.
Having to change my freight shipments, so I'm having too much trouble with where it's at right now.
I'm all baggage. We're not freight, if that makes a difference.
I'm just trying to figure out where would be the best place for me to pick my stuff up at. That's what I don't know. I know FedEx and Avery are over in Duncan or below Duncan, which is a pretty good way for me.
Kind of far from you. I don't know if you're on this side of town.
No, I don't think so. That's why, like I said, just trying to figure out another place to, because I'm using FedEx up here in Martin now, right up here at the airport. And since they got the new manager up there, they're just horrible to deal with.
Let me call you when I leave. I'm getting back in the dock here. I'll talk to you in a little bit. N4ZLK.
Here out for you. I'll be around for a little bit. KO4HK. And I'm clear.
Play on mobile.
4LEO. This is KO4HK. How are you today? Patrick on the stand.
Hey, Patrick. This is Jim up at Traveler's Rest. KO4LAO. Over.
LAO. How are you doing today, Jim?
I got to make a quick trip to Home Depot. I'm working on a new antenna, so I needed a spool to put my wire on when I take it up and down. But I went up to the wireman today to get some more 12-gauge wire and see if I can make a 8 to 10 multi-band antenna.
An 8 to 10 meter or 8 to 10 band?
80 to 10 meter. I'm sorry.
May have been me. I may have not heard you right.
But that's what I meant. 80 to 10 meter multi-band band antenna. But I found if I get a spool every time I've got one of these, at least it's I can roll it up and take it down quickly or put it back up quickly and then have a good way to store it.
Wire are you using from Home Depot?
12-gauge wire from the wireman. You know where they are?
I do not know exactly where they're at, but vaguely.
25, make a right-hand turn on Highway 11 and go down to Pittman Road. It's a South Carolina State Highway there. I forget the number of it. But you make a left-hand turn right there, and then you make the first right, which is Pittman Road, and they're up that road about 2 miles up on top of a hill.
And like I said, I know the general area, but not exact location. I run a tool truck around that area sometimes.
If you go up there drive, you're going to have low gear because that thing's pretty steep. They actually sold their property, I learned from Deborah today. She's the wife of husband-wife team there, and they're going to move down at the bottom of the hill, which if you ever drive up there, which I recommend, by the way, because she's got a lot of really good stuff in there if you're going to build work on antennas or anything like that. But they've sold their property, and by the end of the month there, they're going to be down at the bottom of the hill.
I met them this weekend over at the Shelby Ham Fest. I went to it, and they were there.
I don't know if it's Dennis or Doug, and Deborah's the lady, and she's real nice.
I get up there and visit them sometime. Right now I'm working on getting my general license, so what I got works for now, but I will work on the better setup a little later.
you know, as soon as you can take that journal test, go ahead and get her done, and you could be chasing Chad there across the airwaves.
He's pretty hard to keep up with.
A fast learner. Under his wing there and helped him understand a lot of this HS stuff that was new to him.
Have that Tuesday night round table, and I'm usually there. Sometimes I'll talk or key up the mic, but not very often because I'm doing my nightly closeout and checking my orders in for the next day. So I have to find time to do that.
Didn't you have some property or something? How's that going?
On the permit process, they're about 3 to 4 months behind. And I'm going to build the garage first, and so I can get all my business stuff moved up there. And then we'll go with the house to make a plan on it.
The price of lumber will come back down a little bit.
Held me up too. I hadn't been in a real big rush for the house because of that. Where I got paid for, so it's not hurting me. And then I was going to put up a metal building for the garage anyway, so we'll see how that goes.
Listen, I'm going to say 73 to you, and I hear you a lot in the afternoons when you're driving back, so I'll listen for you next time around.
A lot of times I throw my call out on the way home of the evening and get no response because it's usually around supper time for everybody, so... I understand, but I'm just trying to get home, and sometimes it's just a little conversation. So, Jim, it was nice to meet you, and I'll keep an ear out for you next time. AO4HKX, and I'll be clear on your final step 3.
It's KO4LAO, 73 to you. Patrick, we'll talk to you soon.
This is Roll TR. Good evening, Patrick.
Tom, did you get your ham salad and crackers taken care of?
Yes, sir. Started them right up this afternoon. Oh, we just made a quick run to Home Depot here and headed back home. Boy, it is getting dark up there around our place.
It's that time of year. Days are getting shorter. I can't remember when daylight savings is, so I think.
A thunderstorm, but yeah, it's around 7 o'clock now. I have to set the timer on the chickens out there. I usually turn it on a half hour before bedtime and a half hour after it gets dark. And they go up to roost. I don't have to. It's just something that I got rigged up with some cheap timers from Harbor Freight.
KO4LAO, how you doing this evening, Tom?
I'm doing real good, Jim. Good to hear you. We're just here at Wade Hampton and 101. I guess always one side of the road's Buncombe, the other side of the road's 101, right? Well, no, it's still Buncombe. And then you turn on to 101, about a block up the road there. But anyway... somebody asked me where I'm at, Jim, and I always say, well, I'm at the stop and go.
Yeah, I was just talking to Patrick there about several issues there, and it's good to hear from you. I'm actually headed to where you're coming from. I'm headed to Home Depot.
Look in the north, and it seemed like it got closer since we went inside. We just went in to look at a floor mat to put in front of the sink in the kitchen. And, of course, Miss Finicky here did not find what she wanted to find.
Mr. Herker, she's the head cook.
She said, do I got that? That's a good point, Jim. Uh-oh, shoot. Well, everything's been going fine except my back, and it's about a 7 or an 8 tonight. It's, but I feel like the more I move, maybe the better it'll get. I don't know. It hasn't worked, but I've been trying to stay up as long as I can. But then my foot starts going to blazes, and can't win for losing. But I got quite a bit accomplished today.
Yeah, I heard Bernice in the background there giving you a little cautionary note.
I rule the roost, but she rules the rooster.
Do you know who's in charge?
I was trying to tell Patrick today that when Mr. Webster created the dictionary, he was out at my place, and we was out in the garage talking, and he was working on the letter P at the time, and he looked over at me, and he says, "That's it. Perfection."
Humble, too.
Now you did get a laugh out of her. Yeah, way humble. I forgot that one. I don't know. That just came up in my pea brain today. I told somebody that. I knew they'd believe me, of course, Jim, just about as much as you do.
The radio here and pay attention to my driving, so I'll say 73 to you, and again to Patrick as well. I think he's still in there. And y'all have a great evening. KO4LAO, be clear on your final.
Okay, Jim. Take care. It was real nice to hear you this evening. And I thought Patrick either dropped in a hole or he got home. I'll sign with you, Jim, KO4LAO, with Sender OTR. Patrick, if you're still there, go ahead.
And I just pulled in the driveway. I was going to say 73. But you come out with that again, and I had to wait to see what Jim had to say about it. So I had to wait for the laugh. But you and Miss Bernice have a good old trip on into the house, and I will talk to you later. KO4HPX, 73 Thomas.
Okay, Patrick. Well, I kind of thought it was you I told that to. You're just a non-believer, that's all there is to. When I tell you something, just jump. There'll be something there to catch you. My daddy always told me that. But I won't tell you the results. But, you know, I guess I am. Take care, Patrick. This is NGLTR 73. So I'm clear.
Portable radio here. How's it sound? I'm trying out a new portable radio here. How does it sound, KA2TXJ?
Well, it sounds, you got good audio. It's a little, you got a little white noise with you. You know, getting into the repeater. But you're solid in the repeater and certainly 100% readable, so if you're using an HT, then that's, you know, that's pretty common to have some white noise in there, unless you're standing outside in the yard and you got line of sight to the repeater.
Not quite line of sight, but got a little bit of elevation here. Actually, it's a DMR radio. You know anybody who's into DMR radio around here?
Personally, but I'm sure there are some guys that do, and I've been curious about it myself. So does this show my location and all that?
If you're transmitting APRS, and I'm not sure, I think the repeater has to be enabled for that, but I think it would only work if we were talking on digital and I would be able to see that. I think you have to have your radio program to be able to transmit it.
I knew that. I just wasn't thinking when I asked you that question. Yeah, this, I don't think this repeater has that capability. So anyway, but that sounds good. What kind of rig is it? What brand?
It's the Anytone UP768, I guess. They have like three different versions of it. This is the more basic of the three versions. But it's taken me a while to figure out how to program the code plug and how to get into any DMR repeaters. There aren't many of them around here. and the only DMR system seems to be coordinated by SD Heart, so only today was I able to figure out how to actually get into the DMR machine that's up on Paris Mountain.
HKX.
Go ahead.
DMR, I've recently got into it myself, and I haven't been able to hit any of the repeaters around here. I've been using my SkyBridge that come with the Anytone.
Even through the SkyBridge, you haven't been able to hit any? The one on Paris Mountain, I can hit if I walk up to the end of my street. I'm over at Blue Ridge Plantation, and I have to go up the hill to get into it, but I can if I go up the hill.
With the SkyBridge, I can get on the same talk group you're getting on the repeaters. I live in Penrose, or up close to Brevard, North Carolina. So there's nothing up here that I can hit from where I'm at.
Have you tried the... You said you haven't had any luck going through the SkyBridge, because I think that's going to be my next purchase through BridgeCom. You can buy one that's already programmed.
On the talk groups with the SkyBridge, no problem. I usually keep it active with the Wi-Fi in my tool truck or when I'm driving around so I can use it. I usually monitor the North Carolina talk group or the South Carolina because there's less traffic on it. You get on the talk group 91 or the worldwide, and it's hard to get on and off of it when you do want to get something else.
What do you mean hard to get on and off?
If there's a lot of traffic on there, when you key up to link to that talk group, it won't let you link in. Or when you want to get off, you can't get off unless the talk group is clear.
Oh, okay. What SkyBridge or hotspot did you buy?
I bought the SkyBridge from BridgeCom. I got the package deal, so that I could get it all matched up, and they programmed it, and it was ready to come go when I got it. All I had to do was set up the Wi-Fi.
Oh, great. Yeah, I've seen that one online. I bought the radio in hopes that I'd be able to get into the repeater a little bit better from home, and that didn't quite work out. And the SD Heart system doesn't seem, I don't know if it's got any talk groups that are compatible with repeaters outside of the state other than through the SD Heart system. Talked to somebody today who didn't seem to think that actually probably had disabled a lot of that because it was being overused in the beginning.
Well, you're starting to drop out just a little bit there, but I made out what you were saying. There is another gentleman, or two of them, that get on here, Andrew and Bill. I can't remember their call signs right now. Andrew is on the SC Heart DMR. He knows how to get into it, and he can give you more information on it. And Bill is in Georgia, so he's dealing with it down there. We're kind of spread out. There hadn't been a whole lot of local going on with it that I have found.
Okay. I talked to a guy today that my first contact, and he was down in Columbia, and he said it's not real busy. I wonder if Andrew, I have to check, it might have been the guy that I exchanged an email with to get some information about the code plug programming. You and I have spoken before. I know you're Patrick, the guy with Pool Truck. This is Jim, KA2TXJ.
Okay, yeah, I recognize you now.
Information, I'll look at those talk groups you're talking about. Where did you get that information from to program them in?
Meister webpage, and you can get a lot of that information. Or you can go to the BridgeCom. I would highly recommend getting the BridgeCom University because it will actually give you little classes on each aspect of what to do. A lot of it is on YouTube also for free. So you might want to try there. There's a lot of information on it on YouTube. If you just put in BridgeCom DMR, it'll come up.
Actually, I got access to the university because I purchased the radio through them, so I have some access. I don't know if I have 100% access, but It's actually part of the tutorial today, which actually got me this far to get on the air, so that was helpful.
Very helpful in my course of trying to figure stuff out, because I couldn't find anybody that knew a whole lot about it either, and that's when me and Bill and Andrew started talking about it. And you'll catch us on here from time to time talking about it, or sometimes if you're monitoring the North Carolina talk group, there's a group of guys on there that are real good about helping you get things set up.
I probably won't be able to hit that one without the hotspot, though. So, but if you're here, do you usually listen on this statewide talk group?
Pretty much any of them with my hotspot. I just got to change, go to the radio and program or switch over to them right quick.
That's good to know. I was wondering how much activity was around here. It seemed like there was a lot, but I was beginning to think maybe it wasn't a good idea buying a radio.
Now, if you get on the USA, the North or US, I can't remember which one it is. I think it's 91, I can't remember. Anyway, if you get on the one for the US and then the one for worldwide, they're both fairly busy. Sometimes I'll switch over and monitor the one for the 50 states, the United States, and it's pretty informative. There's a lot of information there also, and most anybody will chime in and help you with whatever you're wanting to know. I've found them to be pretty helpful. And I will tell you, there's a lot of nets on there also, but finding out the information on those is a little bit, you got to do some digging, let's put it that way.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. I appreciate you chiming in and helping me out there. Thanks. I might take a walk back downhill now. Once I do that, I know I'm not going to be able to get into the machine. But, Patrick, thanks for the information, and I'll chat with you down the line. KZFJet.
If I can help, I'll be more than glad to. I don't know a whole lot, but I will pass on what little I do know. Dave, sorry to leave you out there. I didn't mean to. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear.
Yeah, I mean, you just hung me out of the dry, man. And now you're clearing the frequency. I mean, dude. That's fine. Yeah, I was just listening. I'm getting educated here. Anyway, have a good night. KB4CVA.
KB4CVA, KB4CVA. Sorry, Dave, I didn't mean to leave you out hanging there, but tough to get information about the DMR stuff. And is it storming where you are? Because where I am here, I can hear it off in the distance.
Okay, obviously, Dave is a lot more about DMR than I do. I know absolutely nothing about it, so anyway, so I'm glad he could jump in there and help you out a little bit.
Yeah, very informative. Apparently it's not real busy around here, so I guess I'll still be looking. Boy, neat sky out here. It's very red, and I can hear the thunderstorm off in the distance, so I wonder if it's going to make it this way into Taylor's.
I'm right here in Wade Hampton at Roadhouse, and I live in Taylor's. I live in the Pheasant Ridge subdivision on Rutherford Road, which is probably a mile from Texas Roadhouse here.
Okay. Yeah, I'm familiar with where that is. I'm up in Blue Ridge Plantation on the other end of Taylor's.
Frequency.
Oh, that's good to know. There's a little bit of elevation here. When I'm standing up here, it's direct line of sight to Paris Mountain, although I know this isn't on Paris Mountain, but the DMR machine is.
Right. Look, I can see Paris Mountain, and it is gorgeous. The sun is, you know, set, and the sky over Paris Mountain is just lit up. Red is, it is beautiful. I tell you, I should have stopped by there and took a picture of it.
Ooh, starting to see some lightning here. Maybe I better go back to the house.
It's say you can get struck by lightning up to 12 miles away, so it's nothing to play around with, for sure.
Hey, I'm standing out here in the middle of the circle in the development talking on the radio, so I'll be pulling a lightning bolt right down to me.
I pull in the garage, so you have a good night, and we'll talk to you later. This is KP4CBA, mobile clear.
Thanks a lot for chat. K2TXJ. Yeah, I see that red over Paris Mountain from here now. Looks cool.
CBA, KZ4TMA.
Did you mean KP4CBA?
Apollo, I didn't get your call sign right. This is Simon. I'm KZ4TMA. I think we've caught each other on the air once or twice before. I'm a relatively new ham in Greenville. I think you said you were getting in the garage, but you got one more minute. I've got a question for you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was hoping to get on. I've been trying to get on the Wednesday night net sometime soon to participate in the net and the swap net, and it's just the worst night of the week for me. I can never make it. Have you attended that before, and do you happen to know the name of the operator who runs it? I think his name is Walt, but I could be mixing guys up, and I certainly don't remember his call sign either.
Hey, I'm going to have to put my glasses on here. Hang on a second.
The I4DOS runs it on Wednesdays at 4ZLK.
Get that.
It. I had some picket fencing right then. If you don't mind repeating it, I'd love to jot it down. Thank you.
This is Shane in 4ZLK. Gary is the one that calls it on Wednesday nights, and his call is KI4DOS.
DOS, and it's Gary, not Walt. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Like I said, I want to get on there, and I want to register my interest in a couple items. But I can never make the time, so I thought I'd see if there was some other way of contacting him and kind of letting him know what I'm interested in so I could have my items on his list. So thanks very much to both of you. I appreciate it.
Can you give me your call again and your name, please, sir?
Simon. I'm usually in Greenville. I'm down in Malden at the moment. And my call is KZ4TMA, Kilo Zulu 4 Tango Mike Alpha.
I wanted to put you in my log, so. All right, KZ4TMA. That's good. I like that call. Okay, Simon, it's good to talk to you, and I'm sitting here in the dark. We evidently still don't have power. I don't know what's going on. But we've been without power since, oh gosh, I don't know, about 4 o'clock or something, 4:30. Thank goodness I have a backup battery on my garage door that'll raise my door for me.
Great to hear it. We didn't have any electrical issues where I live, but I'm assuming it's from that same storm, which certainly woke me up this morning. But all right, I hope you get some soon. And thanks for staying on and answering that question for me, and thanks to the other operator whose call sign I'm already forgetting too, but thanks for providing that for me. I'm actually here picking up, and I've just got my passenger, so I better start driving and drop off. So I'll say 73s, and thanks to both of you again. KZ4TMA, clear.
Good night, and 73s, KZ4, KZ4TMA, KB4CBA, clear.
Say good night, and hello, Dave. I know you're going in, but N4ZLK.
Is that okay? All right, I heard it that time. Thanks again for your help. KZ4TMA, clear.
For HKX. Shane, you still around there?
I like you must be in the house.
I'm at the house now. I'm on my base station.
Seeing how radios can sound different.
I don't know how they do it, but I guess it's the microphone that's picking up the bass or the volume or the fidelity of your voice different.
KP4CBA.
4ZLK.
I wasn't ignoring you. I was if I didn't finish writing before I picked up the mic, I wouldn't have remembered what I was writing down. But anyway, I'll say 73s, and y'all go ahead, but I just didn't want you to think I was ignoring you there. All right, N4ZLK, KP4CPA. Y'all go ahead. I'm clear.
I figured you weren't ignoring me. I thought maybe you were quick on the power button, but it's all right. Have a good evening. Go ahead, Patrick.
Dave, have a good evening. I hope your power comes back on soon. Shane, you still out working?
Earlier they were talking about the sky being really red over Paris Mountain, and I was on 85 South. All I could see was a dark cloud. But now I'm headed towards Traveler's Rest on 25, and man, it is beautiful red. There's all kinds of colors. It's a deep red. I don't know if I've ever seen the sky this color before.
See it from where I'm at, so I can't tell you.
Yeah. You're on the other side of the mountains, but it's just the way the clouds are and the sun going down behind it. It's a beautiful sky, but it's kind of a real dark, dark red.
And what God can do with that paintbrush he's got in his hand.
I always enjoy it. I'm out in it all day long driving around, and I like the weather. I like all the differences, but like I said, I've never seen one like this before, but it's beautiful.
Family reunion go this weekend.
Nice trip, a nice drive up there, a nice drive back, and got to meet some family I didn't know I've never met before, and also met the crazy ones. We got a couple of that are either I'm crazy or they're crazy, and I don't think it's me because I can function pretty well in the world, but there's a couple of them that don't seem to be able to, so it must be them.
Family's got some of those somewhere.
I think I've got them beat. I've never seen anything like it before.
Ohio, right? That with the, I believe I remember that.
And that may be part of the problem. I can say that because I was born there. And they don't have sweet tea up there. At least I couldn't find any. So that's another problem.
Amazing the places that I travel through that you can't get a glass of sweet tea. When went to Vegas a couple years ago, couldn't get a glass of sweet tea. And I don't drink, so it's either water, sweet tea, or soft drinks for me. And I struggled because I couldn't get nothing but a soft drink, and the water was nasty in Vegas. I just, ugh. So I was stuck drinking soft drinks for almost a week straight.
And I can do unsweet tea now. I usually order it half and half around here if I'm getting tea. I can put up a lot better with unsweet tea than I used to be able to, but it's just funny. I just thought I'd ask while I was there, and sure enough, I know I'd heard the rumor, and I've been there before, but I just wanted to check. Surely, you know, that technology and civilization would progress, you know, since the last time I was up there, but apparently not.
Me, they know instantly what it is, so why have they not tried it?
And they say, well, we can bring you sugar packets. They're just not the same.
Just go ahead and tell them bring me a soft drink. Something else.
And no, it was a lot of good food, and the ones that I know already and that I really like, you know, it was fun to see them again. And the others, I actually knew the two that are kind of strange and a little mental, I might say. And that there are reasons, I know for sure on one of them, but the other one, I'm not sure. So I kind of feel bad for them, but, you know, they're grown men now. It's time to take responsibility.
General problem with this whole generation, they don't want to take responsibility. It's somebody else's fault.
With one of them, he's actually my nephew, one of them, and had a conversation with him about 6 months ago. He was here for something, and
He told me he didn't want to be judged. He didn't want people to. He didn't want to live in the societal norms that everybody seems to put him in. And he's fine the way he is. And I was like, okay, but you're not crashing here because that's what he does. You know, he just lives off of people till they kick him out. I'm like, I'm not putting up with that.
That, there's a difference in helping somebody and letting them mooch off of you.
We left. My wife and I left up there, and we the place where we were was about 30 minutes north of Dayton, and so from there, from driving there to Cincinnati, it was about an hour and a half. And I think we spent that whole time just decompressing and talking about everything that happened that wasn't good, and probably judging people a little bit too much. Maybe we shouldn't have done that, but it was amazing that we could carry on the conversation that long about certain things.
Yes, and it's amazing what other people find normal versus what we find normal. Even here where we're in our area where we're at, I mean, just the differences in the wild hair, the colors, the body art, you know, I got nothing against it, but it's just like, really? Some of it is just, what? And you wonder why people judge you with it, some of it. I try not to do that, but sometimes it's hard not to.
And you know, everybody has a story. I understand that. And some people are where they are because of some pretty traumatic things. But there is kind of a general way society works, and if you can't manage to at least, you know, adhere to some of those societal norms, the issue is probably with you and not with society.
The problem now is most of that's what's coming normal, and what you and I think is normal is becoming the oddball stuff.
We always talk about that when family comes and stays for a little while. I love them because they're family, but, you know, even my brothers, just how different we are. And they'll leave, and I'll say, well, either we're normal or they're normal. And if they're normal, then we're the crazy ones. But I can't see it.
Apart from my family, people that knew me or knew my younger brother and then met me, they just couldn't believe that we were brothers, and just it would always floor people that, you know, we come out of the same family.
Myself is that I was adopted. I know I look like them, but I just tell myself I was adopted, and that makes me feel better. And 4ZLK.
Looked at it that way. I always just took my lumps and moved on. You know, family's family. You don't get to choose who they are. You just got to deal with them. And everybody's got their problems. Everybody's got their way of doing things. And, you know, just try to love them for who they are and make the best of it is the way I try to live it. But sometimes it's hard. Trust me, I understand. KO4HKX. You know, you were breaking up a little bit.
I'm up and down on some hills over here, off 183 Forest Bridge Road. There, off 25.
So about where you're at, and it does get a little scratchy through there. But you're fine now. You're perfectly clear now on that last transmission.
Power up, but no another turn and I'll almost be facing the repeater and have a clear sight the rest of the way home.
Maybe affecting it a little bit too, you never know with that kind of stuff.
Rain and there's lightning all around, but are you getting anything up there?
I wasn't when I come in here and sit down in the, my shack room, but I can't see out the window right now because it's all dark, so it may be raining, but I don't hear it.
Or earlier, and there was a little bit of shower activity around us, but then there was this front moving across the United States that extended all the way up into Canada. Just a real thin line of showers that was moving across the whole country, the whole radar screen there, moving at a pretty good clip.
Blown up the radar so I can look and see now.
Hours ago, I don't know what it looks like now, but I checked the radar a lot, and I hadn't really seen anything covering that much area, or that, you know, from pretty much from the top of Canada all the way down.
For HKX, yeah, we're kind of in the middle. There's a little break there. You got some over Atlanta and a little bit over Charlotte that way. But there's some storms down in Charleston and Columbia coming this way.
Is that okay? Were you in Easley today, Patrick?
Morning. And then I was there until about 2 o'clock today, and then I had to pull off the route. I had to go up to Arden and deal with your competition up here and their pleasantries to pick up a toolbox.
About that, I heard you were mentioning earlier you're having some issues, but I don't know what to tell you there.
Is, I mean, everybody there has changed in the last 4 months just about it. There's two people left, and I mean, used to they would help us unload the toolboxes and off the pallets and stuff like that with the fork truck. And he threw it down on the floor, on the ground, and drove off. Nothing. I mean, so here I am trying to get a 1,000-pound toolbox off this pallet without damaging it.
Well, no, we don't handle stuff that heavy. We don't even have forklifts. Our limit is supposed to be 150 pounds. Generally, it is, but it's all by hand, so you'd have to. If you're switching, you'd have to go with somebody else. Couldn't be me.
Well, for that is UPS Freight is up in Biltmore, which is an hour north of me. And Averett is 45 minutes north of me. They were the closest. That's why I went with them, because they were convenient. And they've done great up till just recently. And they got a new yard manager. And she's something else.
I don't know if you know this, but UPS Freight got bought out. UPS sold the freight division to a company out of Canada called Transforce International, I think is what it is, TFI.
Not know that. Mac, who's got an account with them, and that's who does all their freight is. UPS and UPS Ground. We have corporate accounts with them.
Well, technically, they're still servicing as UPS, I think, for another 6 or 8 months. But they've already changed a lot of their trucks over, painted their trucks or gotten new trucks. But they're still pulling the UPS freight trailers. It's funny, they still got some old roadway trucks, I mean, not roadway, overnight trucks in the system as well that weren't UPS just put a label over them, and goodness, that's been, I think, 15 years ago that they bought overnight.
I'll say that's been a while, but yeah, they still have, when last time I was up at the UPS freight yard, they still had one of the trucks that wasn't stickered. It was still overnight up there.
Used to run their tractors for a long time, put a lot of miles on them, so that's probably why they'll splurge and buy 30 or 40 brand new tractors and give them to some people, and then they'll just move the old ones to somewhere else.
mean, as long as they're not breaking down, they're not costing you more in repairs than it is a new one. I mean, that's how you make money. That's how you keep your overhead down.
Some more trouble with the new ones than they do the old ones. The old Mack trucks were really good. In fact, that's what I drive. I mean, I think it's a 2012, 2013, something like that. It's got a million, over a million. Can't remember. I know we've got some with 1.6 on them, but we got a couple new Kenworths, and those things break down all the time.
This regen stuff and the emission stuff, it's causing all kinds of problems. And right now, you can't get parts for it. I was talking to a couple other distributors the other night, and with truck problems, and they're saying that Kenworth and Peterbilt come out with a flash to do away with the regen system temporarily because there's such a shortage of parts and so many trucks down. I hadn't looked to officially find that out yet, but that's what they were talking. They had heard while they were trying to scrounge up parts for theirs.
We have to get a waiver, though, because, man, those emissions controls, those are hot items when it comes to government regulations.
All these guys out here deleting these trucks, and I'm just like, y'all are just asking for trouble. There was one in Harrisonville. I won't mention any names, but he got a $4.4 million fine for doing deletes on diesels.
That's why I like my 7.3. I don't have to worry about that.
That's why I got two of them.
National is selling. They're pushing their business overseas, China and India, because the emissions controls aren't anything like that, like what we have here. And they said, you know, their policy is we can sell and make trucks over there that run good, while we have too many problems over here because of all the things we got to try to do.
And now you got them wanting to go all electric on stuff, and I just don't see how you're going to have enough capacity to do that with somebody like me, for instance, where I'm driving that straight truck around all day. You know, there's some days I put 200-300 miles on it in a day.
I was partnered with somebody, Tesla maybe, but a few years ago, hadn't been that long, maybe a couple years ago, I think Volvo came out with one. They were the first ones to get it working, and it was an all-electric tractor that would pull 4,000 pounds for 2 hours, and that was it. Which means you can't even pull an empty trailer, or you can pull an empty trailer maybe, but that's about it for 2 hours at the most.
Somewhere they were doing some testing on it over in Australia or Europe or somewhere like that with those, you know, electric trucks and the self-driving trucks, and I'm like, I just don't know about none of that. It wouldn't work for me at all.
I know UPS is looking at that too, but it's more for, you know, out west where you got long hauls, long straight roads, and they're looking at it like caravan. The first truck will have a driver and the others will follow that first truck, you know, down long interstates. But I'm hoping to be out of it when we get to that point. N4 ZLK.
If that's the case, why don't they just start running, you know, triple trailers and letting them go that way? If that's the case.
Pulls out west, and you can do 45 doubles, 45-foot doubles. But, you know, they run them between cities. They have pull-off points where they'll drop the rear. Somebody else will pick it up.
Hey, here's a novel idea. Let's go back to using freight trains that move things a lot quicker and then have depots and just move trucks from there. I mean, you can move freight a lot cheaper that way. And it might not be as quick, but people might have to start stocking a few things.
Always something, but people love technology. They want to build the biggest or the newest thing and get rid of the human element in it.
Want to make their job easier so they have to do less. And look at our society now because of it. KO4 HKX.
another 10 minutes, maybe.
A few minutes. I'm going to have to hop off here. The wife will be home shortly, and then I got to get ready for work tomorrow.
Anything, any of your equipment delivered to your house, or is it too much trouble?
I have all of my small packages delivered here to the house, but I don't have any freight delivered. There's no way they could get even the 45-foot or the little 25 or 20-foot trailers up here. They barely get the UPS truck up here.
UPS smalls come out of Mills River area by the airport?
Hendersonville. Over there, there's a depot in Hendersonville. I don't think there's one up in Mills River, is there?
Put one up there fairly new. I could be wrong. I know there's a... Everybody else is right there by the airport.
If I go, it would be great if they did. Then I would definitely be switching over. But I think FedEx is the only freight company there right now, ground and freight. And then you got Amazon and Pepsi up there and Continental Tevis and a couple other little manufacturing places there. But I don't think UPS has moved there yet.
They won't then. They like to stay put until they've outgrown the place they're in at least three times before they'll finally do something.
Something in Biltmore off of River Road there, it's pretty run down, that's for sure. And getting in and out of there, man, it's tough.
Building, I've been there 30 and a half years, and it was there a few years before I started. And we have... They have put so many little additions on it, and the parking lot is dangerous. You can barely get around it. And you just every year I think there's no way they're going to make it this year. And then I found out that we don't even own the building. We don't even own the property. They just lease it. They do that with almost everywhere they are.
See how many companies do that when you start looking into it. Ingles, now I don't know if they still do it this way, but they used to. Land of Sky Realty owns all the property, and they lease it to Ingles, even though Bob Ingles, the Ingles family, owns both of them.
The thing I can figure is they do a tax write-off with it, I guess.
I guess. But the freight stuff, I'm concerned how Christmas is going to go, because I'm struggling to get freight consistently right now. So when Christmas load hits, I don't know what's going to happen.
Expect that you guys, that freight would affect, our Christmas volume would affect the freight too much, like, you know, the LTL stuff. I can see, you know, full truckloads of items direct shipped to stores or something, but it seems like LTL, there's not many things that customers... you know, buy that would come freight for Christmas.
What I was talking about, like my small packages coming to the house, used to I could order like Monday evening and I would have it by Thursday. Now I'm getting it, you know, Monday or Tuesday of the following week.
Yeah, that sounds like a shipping... you know, an issue on the actual time that it was shipped, because we generally can get something across the United States in 5 days. I know we get overwhelmed at Christmas when people wait till the last minute and then try to ship something overnight. It can overrun the air system, but the ground system is usually kept up pretty well.
I was wondering if it was on Matco side or UPS side or a combination of thereof. Between the two, with all the sickness and, you know, employees not wanting to show up.
Too much of that affecting, you know, once something's shipped, we can usually handle it pretty well. So it's probably on the shipping actual being picked up, you know, from the warehouse end of it. Anyway, good to talk to you tonight. I'm just about home. I'm going to go ahead and clear. Saw some deer. I got to watch out for them, too, because they like to jump out. We'll talk to you again, Patrick. Enjoyed it. KO4HKX from N4ZLK.